Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls and questions until after the top of the hour news. But if you want to jot the phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, I'm going to welcome our guest today to the Tuesday Talk Show. It is the second Tuesday of the month. City staff is in. We have Aaron Kubik and Brad Clark, both in studio. Gentlemen, welcome. Glad to have you this morning here on KAJO Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Let me see. Strategic planning, I guess, is one of the topics we'll talk about. I just throw that to you, Aaron.
Right?
To get started.
Yeah, it is. It's strategic planning time. This is an opportunity for city council to sort of hear from the community and our advisory committees, for them to introspectively think about where they'd like to go within the next 2 or 3 years. And we put those ideas and concepts together, and we sit down and we develop a strategic plan. The key piece about this is the strategic plan that we're developing now will be done before we produce our first budget for the budget committee to review and ultimately get approved. And that really is what drives our budget process. And the key piece about that is the budget reflects the strategic plan. With the budget being adopted, that's really the document that allocates our ability to spend public dollars and resources. So anything that's allocated for us to move forward with spending is associated with the strategic plan and council's goals. And then we track all of that and we report on our successes.
Right. Now, to facilitate that, you're asking for a community survey, is that right?
I am, yes, we are. One of the things we've got is we've got a survey currently right now online, and we're closing that survey on this Friday. And so we can prepare all the responses for council and the retreat that we have on the 21st. We'll be going through this and developing the strategic plan on the 21st of March. We're asking the community a number of questions, and I've got the questions here in front of me. I like to just sort of spark some ideas for them also. But one of the questions, an important one, is what are the top three issues the city of Grants Pass should focus on over the next 3 years? And we have a list of items, but they can also add others if there's something that's not on the list that we have accomplished, anything from economic development, housing, social services, sustainability, public safety. There's a lot going on there. And we've already received quite a few responses, which is really good. Economic growth, we have a question on that. What types of economic growth should the city prioritize? Housing and neighborhoods. What type of housing project should we focus on? We have other areas of focus that we're asking for also, including infrastructure and transportation. And which areas for city infrastructure should we be focusing on? In recreational and environmental sustainability, and that includes things like the parks and our recreation program and what we should focus on. And then also just a sideline question, how do people prefer to receive updates about city projects and decisions? There's so many different ways people are getting their information now. It's really hard for us to track exactly what's working well. So we have a number of outlets that we utilize, and we're just curious where individuals and our community members primarily get their news and information about city services.
Right. All that being said, I heard very, very broad topics there.
Yes.
Being listed. Homeless fell under housing there? Is that where that would fall? I assume that you're getting some questions about that.
Yeah, there is. Well, the unhoused in those services, they fall under one of the top three issues. That's one of the issues that's listed. But also under housing and neighborhoods, that is also listed in there. So there's a couple of areas. And they have the opportunity to write in their own individual responses if it's something that we don't have covered. They are broad, but then those broad statements, say, for instance, the top three issues are supported by at least 10 different examples. And it's sort of that same way with economic development and recreation and parks and that kind of thing. We have at least 10 specific actionable type of items that we're asking if they would support or not. We already have almost 200 people that have provided information and their opinions on the survey. So that's exciting. We're good.
Is that a high number for this time?
We do. We think it is. Yeah. We right off the bat, the first week when we opened it up, which I think was last Monday, by the end of the week, we already received over 100 responses. And so we greatly appreciate that, even though this doesn't take much time. I mean, you could be done with the survey in 3 to 5 minutes if you just whiz through it. And then some people have provided written comments that we know have taken more than 3 or 5 minutes. So the thing that we greatly appreciate is that individuals are taking their time to express their viewpoints, what their goals are, and how we can ultimately be better and what we should be focused on within the next 3 or 5 years. And this information is truly used. This information is going to be built into the strategic plan based on the top recommendations. And we're going to look for patterns in the survey results, determine where that support is for those things, and be reporting that to council and developing some potential initiatives and actions to help support those high patterns that we see, those hot spots.
Strategic planning has been going on for several years, I think. Did you institute the strategic planning here when you first came on board?
Yeah, back in 2012.
Have you been here that long?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. At any rate, what's been your success rate with these strategic planning sessions? Once you establish that strategic plan, what's your success rate in accomplishing those goals?
Well, we've got – currently right now our current strategic plan has – is supported by what we call a work plan. So the work plan is really the muscle, the meat and potatoes on how we accomplish the goals. The goals are broader, and then we have initiatives and we have actions that help support those goals. And that's what the work plan consists of. So I think our current work plan is 30 some pages long because it has so much in there. We do a really good job of accomplishing and checking off our goals. We touch on every one of the goals each year, and whether it's, well, we haven't made any progress on this, we reaffirmed council, do we want to continue to do this? Council helps drive and direct our areas of focus within the strategic plan because it is relatively large. So we have a lot to celebrate each year with so many of the things we do. It really does guide where we go and, like I said, how we spend and allocate our resources. This year, what we're going to try to do, a little different than previous years, is we're going to try to pare it down a little bit. There's so much going on. There are limited resources. And we want to make sure that we're focusing on successes and that we can mark those big successes off. So we're going to try to make sure that our strategic plan this year isn't a 17-page document, but it truly is what is the community's highest priorities and what things do we truly need to work on to accomplish and we could check off and be done with within the next two to three years. So it's going to be hopefully a smaller document where we have, say, 5 to 7 primary goals that we're going to be focusing on. And then we have a small amount of initiatives that provide us an opportunity to take a work plan and try to figure out what actions we're going to do to help drive those initiatives and get those results that we're looking for.
The strategic planning session itself involves, I assume, it's all city council and city staff. Is that accurate?
Yes.
I remember seeing one of those early, and it was a hall full of people.
Yeah. You know, in the past, we've had different kind of community forums and outreach. This year, we're trying primarily online to get people to provide their surveys and their comments. We've had advisory committee input, and we still do. We've had advisory committees come and report to council. We've had department directors report to council on programs and operations. This year, we're paring it down a little bit to be more efficient and effective with everyone's time. We'll be bringing to council a document that has all of that information in it so we can really get to work on really – and it'll be already classified into different categories and goals that we could try to facilitate. One of the things we're going to try to do during strategic planning is we need to know – and that's one of the things we're asking council. They have a workbook that we provided council that has similar questions, and then it's a little broader. We're asking council to give us a SWOT analysis, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats within the community. And above and beyond that, we're also providing council with the recommendations from the advisory committees and what their goals are, along with some results from the survey. So they'll have that at their fingertips when they're trying to go through their workbook and providing what they would like to have also accomplished within the next 3 to 5 years.
All right. And this is coming up. Once again, give us a timeline.
March 21st, we'll be having that session.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Thank you very much. Brad, I didn't mean to exclude you this morning. Community Development Director Brad Clark is with us. Brad, you're going to be involved in this, I assume, some way.
Yeah, all the city directors play a part in strategic planning, as do our committees, citizen committees, and we seek their input. My department, Community Development, has a number of our citizen committees, and so we work closely with them to try to get their goals and their feedback. And so that's, as Aaron has kind of laid it out, sort of the to solicit that feedback from a broad group. I think we're thinking this year the directors might play a little less active role and kind of focus a little bit more on the elected officials. In part, we do have 4 new city councilors and a new mayor that will be good to hear their feedback and give them time, to kind of flush out their priorities. But we're certainly there as a resource and to kind of help give them data and, information to help set those policies.
All right. Community Development Director, and I'm assuming you're here for a specific reason this morning. Can you outline that for me?
Or are you just filling time?
Pardon me? So, what we did is we had our X-team meeting yesterday, and I just cut a bunch of straws in different
lengths. And he got the short straw?
And he happened to pull the short straw.
It about sums it up.
But, all right. So this is a punishment.
That's right. I mean, there's, we have so much in community development, so we can talk about whatever you or your listeners want to. I did bring one thought today. Aaron mentioned that part of this survey that's out there is economic development. And sometimes when I'm in the community or at a meeting or something, I'll say economic development. I just get this blank stare, like I kind of heard the word.
Oh, what does it really mean? What are you talking about?
I mean, yes. I guess we're talking about the economy and maybe we're talking about development. But so since we are somewhat unique, the city of Grants Pass having a couple of staff that are actually dedicated to that work. As you get larger jurisdictions, it's certainly not unusual. But, for 50,000 population and under, we have. So I think, it was something that was on my mind that maybe we could help shed a little light on. So that was one of the topics that I had. One of the things that's there that group does, is work with basically the other business-oriented organizations in Josephine County, as well as Jackson County. And there are a couple of efforts going on with entrepreneurial creation and sort of fostering a more vibrant entrepreneurial culture, if you will, not to use too much jargon, but in Grants Pass in Josephine County. Kim Fries, who is a former professor at RCU, has taken on a part-time role through the Innovation Hub, which is a collaborative effort between Jackson and Josephine County to sort of create a online resource where entrepreneurs can gather. But there's also a in-person resource called 1MC. It stands for 1 Million Cups, and it's a part of a national initiative to sort of just give people who have an idea to start up a business, or maybe they've already started it and they want to grow it and they're looking for marketing, to come and pitch their story and basically have just a few minutes. And it's been going on less than 6 months, but has already attracted, on average 20 to 30 people. I think that's just an example of one of the exciting things that's happening. And the city's role in that has been relatively minor, but we are Dana Pierce, our economic development manager, has been involved in kind of helping to set it up. And we have James Conway, who's one of our economic development folks, serving as a resource for that group as well. So lots of other examples that we could talk about.
All right. Are any of those opportunistic individuals really coming to fruition right now? You mentioned that about 30 people have taken advantage of this program. Are we seeing movement there, or is it too early to tell?
I think it's probably too early to tell. It takes time to get your business plan developed. to get your funding in place, you know, to get your marketing strategy set up. So in terms of what I think a lot of people think of as the most important metric, and that is, you know, have you actually created jobs for anybody? which is one of the main outcomes. I think there's a, you know, there's definitely few of them that are on their way, but I think it's probably a little too early to tell.
Is this duplicating efforts of the Small Business Development Center?
It's married up with it, you know, because the Small Business Development Center out of RCCU, you know, has advisors who come alongside people who are looking to start up businesses, help them identify their plan, help them create their lenders, identify the potential lenders, you know, kind of put that package together, but not necessarily give them a venue for, you know, marketing and attracting new customers or attracting other partners. So I think, you know, they're very much aligned, though.
All right. Once that person goes through this process or approaches that, does that give them a leg up or just a broader idea of how to work with a city and get the permits needed to create that new business or those jobs?
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely a part of it. You know, the city last year created a business toolkit. That's a small business toolkit that is about 20 pages, and it has very, very specific steps that people can take in terms of working with the city, working with the state, you know, whatever licensing is necessary. You know, if you're in the food industry, you know, kind of pointing people towards public health, and, you know, you got to work with them in terms of getting, you know, if you're doing a commercial kitchen, and there's, you know, just sort of the,
and,
you know.
And what a commercial kitchen entails, which is,
yeah,
is significant.
Yeah, yeah. So we're proud of that. The toolkit's on our website. People can just download it and, you know, reference it. It's got a checklist for, you know, helping them kind of get going. So, you know, that's one example of something we've done.
All right. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here. I've got City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad. Brad. It's one of those days, folks. Brad Clark is in studio, and we'll continue in a moment.
Tired of driving?
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show continues this morning, 9:52 here on the radio this morning, as we've got city staff in, City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad Clark. And Brad, I really meant to ask you, because I know the Community Development Director, every time I see you at a city council meeting, you're talking about something different. You wear a lot of different hats, do you not? your department covers a lot of areas.
Well, you've heard the phrase, jack of all trades, master of none, right?
Okay. Well, I wasn't going to use master of none, but why don't you outline really what your position is about?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, community development directors, which is a very common title throughout all municipal, you know, city and county governments, almost always involves planning, land use, you know, working with the development, the builders, the development community, the building community, sort of understanding that linkage between what do the builders and the developers need to be successful, and what are the rules both locally, state, you know, federally, nationally, and sort of at that center point of how those all intersect with each other. That's a common thread I think you see with all of them. The building division is another common piece, but of course very few, except for Josephine County, who has a community development director who has a building background. But I think that's a bit more unusual. In our case, we have, you know, Ken Sandlin, who is the city's building official and has been for 20 years, who is an expert at what he does. In Grants Pass, community development also includes parks. That piece is a little bit more unusual. Sometimes parks is embedded in public works. Sometimes it's in facilities. Sometimes it's on its own. The longer I've been here with the city, the more I think it actually makes sense because of the, you know, the interface that our open space in the community has with development. I think that's a very good linkage for us. So yes, you'll see me sometimes talking about parks. And then I mentioned before the break, economic development. That's another piece of what we do. But, you know, in terms of my role, I really see as a facilitator, if you will, for people who care about the community and want to put something into action. And we offer that sort of hub, that central place of people who can be a resource to help people contribute to Grants Pass being a more vibrant community. And that happens in all those areas that I just talked about. I mean, even if it's as simple as, you know, we want to put a deck on your house. I mean, I think that's important because decks are hosts for community events a lot of times, a neighborhood event, you know? So, I mean, we see that as important, as well as...
To do a deck, you needed a permit, and that goes to community development.
Correct. And then, of course, we work with a lot of rules. And for good or bad...
do you know them all?
I don't know them all. Okay. I don't know, but I can make my way around pretty well. I know where to go to get the answers. But my background personally is in land use planning. That's where I got my master's degree in community and regional planning. So that's my particular focus. A lot of community development directors do bring more housing. Some of them bring kind of a more finance background. But for Grants Pass, I really think that we're that size, around 40,000 people, that, you know, we're not in the business of building skyscrapers, but we're also not only dealing with rural issues. We're kind of that sweet spot where you have a downtown that has a lot of resources to it, as well as our other business neighborhoods like Redwood and Rogue River Highway, and so we're here to kind of work with them. The industrial side is another piece that we think is really important in community development, and we have been putting quite a bit of energy towards Spalding. Yes, we've talked about that on this show before, but other industrial developers who, because we have heard that there is a demand for those smaller spaces. If you are a plumber, or if you are an electrician, or maybe you are some other small manufacturing, and you need a space and you want to own that space, but you really don't have enough assets to go out and buy a building. There's a concept for condominiumizing, industrial space, so that you can come in and actually buy a unit that is yours, and so that becomes an asset for your business. That's just one example of, how can we, at the scale that Grants Pass is at, help to increase those opportunities for people to get business up and going, because it's really what we need. We need people who pay more than $12 an hour so that we can start increasing the wages for families here, and give an opportunity, more increased opportunity. And that doesn't have to come from outside. I think a lot of times it comes from, from people that are already here, who have an idea, and want to make that available and start giving, even if it's just one or two jobs. But if you can get those jobs and they pay, a decent wage, that's a really important way to start building network to help people that are at all levels of income grow. So that's another focus for us.
All right. Well, we'll continue with that focus when we come back right after news. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, the number to call is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. And you can pose your question to either City Manager Aaron Kubik or Community Development Director Brad Clark. Either one here ready to answer your questions. And Brad, we've been talking about community development and economic development. Is there an opportunity for Grants Pass, just in your vision, where is the best opportunity for Grants Pass to expand that economic development area? Is it Spalding, or is it tourism? What are we looking at?
Yeah, well, you certainly can't ignore the tourism piece when you're talking about Grants Pass, because it is very important. When you're talking about the building up of the overall value of households, many times though the wages that go with tourism oriented jobs are you know, a little more modest. Let's just put it that way. I mean, they're not typically going to generate, unless you happen to own the business maybe that is tourism oriented, to bring in some of those higher levels of income that tend to create jobs. And honestly, that's really what we're talking about. So yes, tourism is important. Honestly, I think the small scale manufacturing is a really excellent existing resource that we have here in the community, but also one that we could expand on. And when I say small scale manufacturing, I'm not talking about, you know, your huge warehouses. I mean, I honestly think it's pretty challenging for Grants Pass to compete with White City. You know, where you have a lot of flat land, you have great access to the airport, to the regional airport. You have, you know, good access to I-5. We have good access to I-5. But if you really need large container loads of shipments and things like that, you know, what our experience has been so far is, you know, we have a challenge competing with Jackson County on that. So small scale manufacturing often doesn't need the same level of transportation. They can utilize what we have, you know, including a potential building on the relationship with the airports, you know, both Illinois Valley and Grants Pass Airport, but also the rail, you know, tapping into, you know, our I-5. But the small scale, you know, it often can use people who have, whether it's woodworking skills, metalworking skills, you know, food manufacturing. There's currently a survey out to the food and beverage community here in Josephine County to solicit their feedback on what exactly are your barriers to expanding your business. You know, whether you're doing salsa or whether you're doing, you know, some other value added product, you know, taking from a farm, you know, and making something out of that and then wanting to sell and get it to the marketplace. You know, the growers market on Saturdays is an amazing resource. There's over 50 farmers and over 100 vendors. And I'm sure anybody that's been there can just sense the energy there. Well, that's, you know, an opportunity to take each one of those businesses and go to kind of to that next step, you know, and that requires, you know, the testing kitchens, it requires labs, it requires, you know, whatever for you may need to take your business to the next level. And I think that's, we have enough warehouse space here, we have enough land here that we could expand into those smaller without going to a massive Amazon, you know, which we already know is really not feasible for our size community. You know, they're looking at larger metros where the workforce is larger that they can tap into. On the smaller scale side, you know, often you don't need hundreds of employees. You know, you need a good solid 5 or 10. But then you multiply that by 15, 20, 30 businesses, and you really start to have an impact on the economy.
All right. Small manufacturing and food processing just really got my attention. I'd never thought about that for Grants Pass because of our limited land. I know we have some farmers out there who really do some great things with their truck farms. How do they take that to the next level? Is it coming to you and saying, what's available? Is there a place I can go to get these things done? The processing, the checking, the all the permits I needed to do in order to advance that business?
Yes, and more. You know, I mean, if depending on where they're going to locate, I mean, if they want to be in the city limits of Grants Pass, then absolutely. You know, we can connect them potentially with people that are already doing some of these spaces. There's a couple of innovation hub ideas that are in the making right now, which I don't think are quite ready to put out on the radio and market, but are would be places where people could go, you know, kind of use equipment rather than putting out $100,000 to buy, you know, a new lathe, for example. You know, maybe there's a place you can go use it for a few hours and then, you know, go on. I mean, that's the idea of a innovation hub is, you know, you if you're at the front end of your business, you can have someplace local to sort of, you know, test your product, build some, you know, some templates before you really ratchet up your scale.
Are there areas within the city of Grants Pass where all those things that you're talking about are possible, or do we need to reach out beyond the city limits?
Well, I think it depends on what we're talking about. I mean, I think we have a lot of opportunity there. You know, we have several buildings that are vacant now in the city that could be repurposed. You know, that takes money as well, because sometimes people need a seismic upgrade, for example, on a building that's old, or maybe they need to install some new water service because of the demand of water. But there's also some vacant areas that could potentially house, you know, new businesses, new warehousing, new manufacturing. And then, of course, Josephine County has around the city limits also some that they're not set up so much for business, but the Merlin area has some opportunity there too. So.
Yeah, Merlin area is what I had in mind. Talking about, you mentioned a couple of things there. Let me see if I can get back to those. When you're talking about some of those areas, within the city of Grants Pass, they're available. Do I need to build? Do I need to come to you? How do I find out what is available if I want to make that step? And in terms of buildings that might need that seismic retrofit, are there grants available for those things?
The Urban Renewal Agency is probably our best resource. I'm looking to Aaron to see if maybe there's some others, but that there certainly are some opportunities. That's one of the purposes of the Urban Renewal Agency, is to help support, you know, increasing the private market and private tax base. So yes, there could be something there. If you're outside the Urban Renewal Agency, we do have some staff that can assist with some, you know, pointing you to grants or other loans, micro loans that are out there. The city does work with the Illinois Valley Community Development Association that kind of helps manage some of our micro enterprise loans. Like I mentioned at the beginning, we're there as a resource and a hub, and we'd love to talk with people about their ideas and see if we can help them connect with either land, and of course talk to real estate agents. There are real estate folks that focus on residential, and then there's real estate folks that focus on industrial and commercial property. So what we're talking about is probably better to identify a local real estate person who has that background in commercial and industrial, and they would know what's available either from a lease standpoint or from a purchase standpoint.
For a long time, we've talked about the Spalding Industrial Park, and last week we had a couple of city councilors in here, and they mentioned that more of the infrastructure is going in that Spalding Industrial Park. Water is going in. What's the status there? Can you know that right off the top of your head?
Yeah, well, we have the biggest challenge there has been the sewer, and that has been designed. The engineering design is complete. Jason Kennedy and the Public Works crew have done a great job of identifying an alternative along the railroad track that will be a little less expensive because it's more gravity-based than having to put in a pump. So that's a key piece. And then getting across the creek there, because the creek kind of divides Spalding, and that always has always been a challenge to how do you serve the other side of the creek. So I think that piece still needs to be identified. But on the east side, I think we're pretty well there. We have most of the funding in place, and we also have a $2 million grant ready to submit here in about 3 weeks to the Economic Development Administration. So we're hopeful that, as a result of that grant, we'll be able to have some more resources to put towards that sewer project.
So what I hear is progress is being made on several fronts. Is that fair?
It is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good things happen.
You can't nod your head. It's radio. You're listening to Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll continue in just a moment.
Comfort is...
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you for joining us. Once again, phone number is 541-472-1270. City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad Clark, both in studio today to answer our questions and yours if you have one or two here. Brad, best chance for Grants Pass to grow right now in terms of community development? We talked about tourism. We talked about economic development coming in. Are there any other areas that we should be exploring in your mind?
Are you referring to growth as in physical growth?
As in economic growth.
Economic growth.
Let's get some money in everybody's pocket.
Right, right. You know, the economic development professional world right now, of course, is sort of just how do you find that sweet spot between the online retail world and the local retail, because it just, you know, it just continues to expand. I mean, who hasn't gone on to Amazon and purchased something? I mean, it makes your life easier, right? But local dollars being invested just really cannot be underestimated in terms of its ability to help to kind of create that solid foundation for a community. You really can't. I mean, there's been study after study, you know, it's the leaking pot kind of, you know, image, where you have a pot and you have holes in it, and you know, it may be a one or two holes, but it's still leaking out anytime you spend money that goes outside of our community. So if you can fill those holes up and spend money that stays in the community, I mean, that's where you really start to see the ripple effect happening, because not just from jobs, but also investments and, you know, people having the opportunity to then buy houses locally or, you know, buy clothing, whatever it is. So I think I'm talking at a very broad scale. I don't know if I'm getting to your question, Chuck, but I mean, I think that's a challenge in this day and age that, you know, they didn't have 20 years ago when it was tougher to do online retail. But we certainly don't have all the answers, but we are trying to help build that ecosystem, if you will, for lack of a better term, that will help to create that stronger local retail.
Right now, there seems to be a turnover in certainly the retail, and let me point out a couple of things. We lost a fairly significant business over next to grocery outlet. Okay, but at the same time, we see Chipotle coming in. We hear words of Bed and Bath coming in. Alda has come in, that cosmetic place in the Grants Pass Shopping Center. I'm assuming these are good things because these people are coming in with a positive attitude, thinking they can be profitable here. Is that the situation? How are these businesses coming in, and can we attract more? Yeah, and either one of you can weigh in on this, certainly.
Well, yeah, I definitely think it's a positive. These franchises that come in, a number of them do their own market research and studies and recognize population, economy, and they have that pretty well played out on whether or not this is a business that can survive based on those data points. And so it's positive that we are starting to show some signs where the data points are saying, hey, we can have these type of businesses come in and they can survive. I think one of the things we need to focus on, sort of going back also to your previous question too, was I think we need to look inward to our current strengths that we have and things that are underutilized within our own system. It's great to attract these new businesses and do that kind of thing. And we've got partners like SoReady that help do that to some degree also. I think one of the things and the best things we can do is make sure that our system is whole and strong and positive, whether it be quality of life issues like parks and rec, public safety, water, sewer, making sure all of our infrastructure is in place, but also our infrastructure on the private sector also. What areas within the community have wonderful growth potential for economic development that may be underutilized? There may be some tracts of land. There may be some specific areas downtown. There may be some other unique locations where we could take a look at one of our biggest tools that is currently underutilized, which we are going to focus on utilizing in the near future. I think it's going to be one of the things that the city council is going to want to do. I've talked to the mayor and some council members, but to try to really take a look at our urban renewal agency and pick out a couple of catalyst projects. And that goes back to what I was talking about, looking internally at where we have some gems that just are not polished, and put that polish on there, which will then drive community pride and spirit, economic development, and it will create us to be even more of a destination location.
What gems do we need to polish?
Well, there, I've got some in my head.
Okay.
And I've talked with Bradley and some elected officials about those kind of things. And I think in the near future, we may be having a larger public scale discussion on some of the locations that we have in our community that are unpolished gems.
Right. With these arrival of these new national businesses coming in, that speaks well for Grants Pass, but a lot of that money's going right back out. It provides some jobs and some rental space. What are the detriments to moving a business into Grants Pass right now? Is it housing and housing for people coming in to run these operations?
Housing is central. Aaron, Dana, our economic development manager, and myself just attended a breakfast that So Ready put on just last week, and that came up a couple of times. You know, whether you're an existing business and you want to expand and attract employees, or you're outside a corporation outside Josephine County looking to potentially move here, one of your very first questions is, well, where will my employees live and can they afford to live here? You know, just last week, you know, we had a new employee on the who had gone through our entire, you know, interview process and had said yes. And by the time he dug deeper into the housing, you know, he just decided him and his family couldn't come. So, we're experiencing that as a city as well as private employers. So, yeah, we have, and I think that's why the city has put a large amount of resources towards what we can do, which is not everything. We are just one player in the housing piece, but yeah, housing is big. Daycare is another one. You know, for an opportunity to have quality daycare from infant, you know, up through that school age. We have some great daycare providers in Grants Pass, but honestly, not enough if we're looking to really expand the workforce and you have a family and you need to have a place to take your kids. They're also very expensive. You know, there's, depending on whether you have an infant or you have more than one kid, I mean, you know, it all just depends. But that is something else that our Community Development Block Grant has been working with the team on to try to see if we can help, as well as Rogue Community College, to see if we can find opportunities to help them get licensing if you're interested in starting a daycare at your home rather than just going straight to a large one, that may be an option. So so daycare and housing, and then the medicine, the healthcare. I mean, those are kind of three central ones that are very important quality of life pieces for growing the business community here.
Yeah, the story about losing that employee or potential employee because they couldn't find a quality of life here they were looking for is, I've heard that played out here time after time after time on this radio station. So we've got some things to do to accomplish. I'm down to about my last 5 minutes here, and I want to go back to Aaron. Aaron, you want to address the problem that Brad just outlined, and I think you probably want to reiterate what's going on with strategic planning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Brad hit it on the head, and I think it's important to note that council has and staff has worked, I think, well and diligent to try to help incentivize growth when it comes to housing, whether it be through hard dollars. We've spent hundreds of thousands, if I'm sure over $1 million in trying to incentivize housing infrastructure. We've internally looked at our processes and our procedures from a planning perspective to try to streamline those as much as possible. Council has changed our codes and some of the requirements associated with housing development in order to streamline that process and to help the private market get out there and do what they do best. And we can always do better, and we're always going to work on it. I think that's one of the things that the mayor wants to champion also, is ultimately maybe a task force that will continue to dive deeper into our codes to try to determine what we can do to continue to make development as easy and quick and economically feasible as possible, while maintaining our interest in our public infrastructure also. So that'll be an exciting challenge also. And then, yeah, I just wanted to get back to our strategic plan, what we started at. I usually end these radio shows stating that we're at our best when we hear from you, and that truly is the case. Whether it's a phone call about a pothole or about a concern that you see somewhere or an idea that you might have, hearing from you, phone call, email, come to a public meeting and have an opportunity to speak public comment, we truly do desire that input. And the strategic planning process is an opportunity for you to provide that input. It's relatively easy. It's simple. You go to our website, which is grantspassoregon.gov. The survey's right there. And it only takes a few minutes for you to express what your concerns and your goals are for the community. And this information is all going to go straight to council. They're going to see everyone's input, and it will help them make informed decisions on where we should go in the future for the next 2 to 3 years.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this morning. And ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for your ears. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.